I don't really have an explanation for everything that happened 13 years ago. But what I can tell you is that you probably shouldn't be here. It was a cold fall night. Everyone was so excited to wear their Halloween costumes to Jonathan's. And the best part about going to Jonathan's was how isolated everything was. How rarely his mom was ever home. And if you knew Jonathan, you knew not to ask about his dad. All I know is that something happened when Jonathan was a kid and his dad sort of just vanished, leaving him and his mom behind. But I don't think that ever bothered Jonathan. I mean, he was always a straight-edge kid, always helping his mom. He'd do everything for her. Cut the grass, the trees, split the firewood. He kept everything looking neat and approachable. Hey, he even made this trail that we're walking on. He'd run it almost every night. Kind of weird, don't you think? I mean, why would someone choose to walk, let alone run here, in the dark? I guess you could say no one knew these woods better than Jonathan. Anyway, that night when we got here, something just didn't feel right. Maybe it was how, when we met in front of Jonathan's garage, he was nowhere to be found. Or how when we tried the front door, it was locked. Either my intuition was spot on or I was psyching myself out in light of Halloween. And then we heard it. Clear as day we heard it. The loud bang coming from the shed near the woods. All we could see was the old windmill, creaking as it slowly spun in the crisp air. I was relieved for a second when my friends all started to laugh, knowing for sure that it was Jonathan trying to prank us. All six of us made our way toward the shed. We opened the doors, anticipating that Jonathan would jump out. There was nothing there. Nothing but six different tools resting neatly on a table. I looked around, confused, and that's when I saw it. A small piece of paper hidden under the chainsaw. I picked it up and unfolded it. Then I read the next few words out loud. I'm it. Run and hide. Staring down the trail that led to nothing but deep darkness, we knew Jonathan was waiting for us somewhere. And there were two things on all of our minds. This is for sure insanely creepy, but were we chickens if we didn't play along? In that moment, we made a decision that would forever alter the course of our lives. We decided to scatter through the woods, making sure to text each other in the group chat, urging Jonathan to hurry or else we were going to leave. Jonathan's reply came in the form of a chainsaw. Standing alone, I could hear in the distance, but it never got closer, which made me think it was just part of his little game. Even when I heard the scream that came right after, I thought maybe our other friends were in on it. Maybe if I had just listened to my intuition. And maybe some of us would have made it out of the mill alive. Hidden behind a tree, Jonathan's first victim found themselves at ease that Jonathan was approaching them, almost relieved that the prank was finally over. And relief quickly turned to angst as Jonathan crept closer, faster, more aggressively, but not saying anything. When the pitchfork Jonathan was carrying became noticeable, it was already too late. And Jonathan was stabbing it right into their jugular, over and over again. And when he was done, he pinned their body to the bark of the tree, and very delicately, he smeared his finger through their blood, using it as ink. Written on a tree in their own blood were the words, "You're it." Jonathan proceeded to track each and every one of us down, using every weapon we had just seen lying in his shed. For his next victim, he used a hammer. He hit and hit and hit until every bone was broken, saving the jaw for last. The next time I heard the chainsaw again, it was closer and being used to saw someone's body in half. And then came the sickle. Jonathan used the sharp, half-rounded, jagged edge ever so aggressively to hook into another's torso. The tools stayed wedged inside of them as Jonathan dragged their body around the woods. Then came the axe, his favorite weapon of them all. Jonathan cut off each of the next victim's limbs, nailing different body parts to the trees throughout the woods. At this point, I had given up trying to find my way out of the trail. Instead, I had decided to climb a tree, but I was growing restless, and I knew it was time to move. As quietly as I could, I climbed down. I couldn't keep the leaves from crunching beneath my shoes as I tried to walk away. I stalled for a second, making sure no one had heard me, but all I could see was pitch-black darkness. There was a small moment of relief when I realized all the screaming had finally stopped. Was it all over? Had I made it? That's when I was suddenly ripped from my legs. My head banged against the ground, knocking me unconscious. When I woke up again, I was greeted by Jonathan in his faceless, emotionless mask. Crying, I asked him, "Why? Why did you do this to us?" In the light of the moon, he just smiled lightly as he picked up a hatchet and hurled it right through my skull while mouthing the words, "You're it." I wish I could tell you that that's where it all ends. It's believed that once his mother found all of our lifeless bodies spread throughout the woods, that she took her own life. But I know the truth. I know it was Jonathan who made her climb up the wooden ladder, who tied a rope around her neck before kicking the ladder from under her feet. And now I guess your only question is, if I'm dead, how am I telling the story? Well, you see, when Jonathan killed us, we became trapped in these woods, forced to haunt them forevermore. But that's not the only job we were given when we met death. No, you see, these woods, they're always hungry for new life. And now, well, you're it.